Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, text 19, try His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Omameva asambuddho janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati nam sava bhavena bhavanta. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says, whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is the knower of everything. He therefore engages in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharata. But there are many philosophical speculations about the constitutions and the truth. Now in this verse, the Supreme Personality explains that anyone who knows Lord Krishna to be the Supreme Person of everything. The imperfect knower goes on simply speculating about the absolute truth, but the perfect knower, without wasting his valuable time, engages directly in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Supreme Lord. Throughout the whole of Bhagavad Gita, this fact is being stressed at every step. And still there are so many stubborn commentators on Bhagavad Gita who consider the Supreme Absolute Truth and the living entities to be one and the same. Vedic knowledge is called Shruti, learning by oral reception. One should actually receive the Vedic message from authorities like Krishna and his representatives. Here, Krishna distinguishes everything very nicely, and one should hear from this source. Simply to hear like the hogs is not sufficient. One must be able to understand from the authorities. It is not that one should simply speculate academically. One should submissively hear from Bhagavad Gita that these living entities are always subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who is able to understand this according to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, knows the purpose of the Vedas. No one else knows the purpose of the Vedas. The word bhajati is very significant. In many places the word bhajati is expressed in relationship to the service of the Supreme Lord. If a person is engaged in full Krishna consciousness in the devotional service of the Lord, it is to be understood that he has understood all the Vedic knowledge. In Vaishnava Parampara it is said that if one is engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, then there is no need for any other spiritual process for understanding the Supreme Absolute. He has already come to the point because he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. He has ended all preliminary processes of understanding. But if anyone, after speculating for hundreds of thousands of lives, does not come to the point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that one has to surrender there, all his speculation for so many years and lives is a useless waste of time. This chapter is called Purushottam Yoga, and that is the title of this chapter. It is that Krishna, in this chapter, is establishing himself as the Purushottam. Purusha Uttama. Uttama means above tama, above darkness, above ignorance. Generally this is understood to mean the Supreme, Krishna is the Supreme Person. It's being described after. Now, Gita is known as Gita Upanishad because it is the essence of all the Upanishads. It is stated in Mahatmya. Avo Upanishad, Avo, is Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads. Ugda Gopala Mandana, the Ugda, the boy who's taking the milk. Krishna, Kapalanandana. Kapalanandana means he's the... Either you can divide this two ways. He's Gopal and Nanda. These are two different names for Krishna. Gopal means cowherder. Nandana means one who is very dear. Or otherwise you can take it to mean Gopal and Nanda. Gopal means Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna is the very dear to Nanda Maharaj. So either way, Gopal and Nandana means Krishna. So, Partha Vatsa. Arjuna is just like Ka, Sudhir Bhokta. Those who are very steady in their intelligence, they are the enjoyers of that milk. Because first, the calf comes to get the milk. And this is Arjuna is like that. And then calf takes a little, and then the rest of the milk is taken and given to others. So the others in this case are sudhir, sudhi, those who have good intelligence. And what is the milk? Dugdam gitam litam mahat. The book is the Victorian instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Gita is Upanishad. Upanishad means questions and answers. The disciple will ask the Guru. Yeah. Arjuna is asking Krishna. Also it's called Gita Upanishad because the Gita is the sum and substance of all the philosophy of the Upanishads. practically, you'll find all the teachings in the Gita, they're all based on what is given in the Upanishads. Upanishads, they are the Jnanakanda section. Vedas. In Vedas there's Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and here we come to Upasanakanda, which means the path of worship, of bhakti. So, Jnanakanda, that is more important than the Karmakanda. But what is the essence of all knowledge? That is being described by here. Jnanati, to know, those who know. That person who knows, what should they know? That Krishna is Purushottamam, this word is given here. This chapter is Purushottam Yoga, Krishna is supreme. Krishna says, one who knows this, and really knowing means asamudho, without doubting. They know everything. Now, this point of knowing everything, that is stated in the Upanishads. Yasvin vigyatam sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. Who knows that? Who is fixed in knowledge of that? He knows everything. But mostly the Upanishads, they speak rather indirectly. Mostly. We also have Upaltapani, Nrsimhatapani, Amatapanishads, which very directly speak of the Absolute Truth as the Supreme. Gopaltapani, Krishna, very clearly says Krishna is Supreme. Amatapani says Ram is Supreme. Nrsimhatapani says Nrsimha is Supreme. So you may be surprised. How is it? All three different persons are Supreme, are the same person. All Krishna in different. Many of the Upanishads speak in an indirect way. They speak about Brahma, the Absolute Truth. Is that Brahma? Yeah, you'll find in Gita also, Arjuna, intad Brahma kimadhyatma. What is the Brahma? What is Brahma, Absolute Truth? What is Spirit? You'll find in the Upanishads also, general, in most of the main Upanishads is described as Brahma, the Absolute Truth. It is described indirectly. Yatova imani bhutani jayante. The Absolute Truth is that from which everything emanates. Inajatani jivanti, that in which it exists. Atprayatya visangvishanti, that into which it enters. Tadbrahmeti, that is tadvijigyasasva, tadbrahmeti. That is the point of inquiry, that is the Absolute Truth. The Upanishads we also have Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Isha, the Supreme Controller, is referred to. But it's the Isha Upanishad. Dashvata Upanishad also speaks of the Supreme Person, Asya Devi Para Bhakti Devi, unto the Supreme Lord, Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shuryate. Para, Parasya Shakti, refers to the energies of the Supreme. But exactly in focus, what is that Supreme that is described here? That is, in many cases, left not very clearly told in the Upanishads, they clearly told here in Gita. Actually, it's clear in the Upanishads also, for those whose heads are clear, for those whose intelligence is clear. But mostly people's intelligence is not clear. Upanishad Jnanakanda, that is generally studied after the Karmakanda. Karmakanda means perform something to the, so that is the Karmamimamsa. Then after comes Uttaramimamsa, is the come to the point of Vedanta philosophy. But coming out of this Karmakanda, performing activities for material enjoyment, all the consciousness may not be very clear. That's why the Absolute Truth is described in an indirect way in the Upanishads for those who think that they are very intelligent, but they're not intelligent enough to accommodate the concept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, explained as well. Actually, Krishna cannot be understood simply by the process of reading so many different books, not simply by intelligence. As you may be very intelligent, but your intelligence may be covered by Maya, that is described by Krishna in Gita. That there is the one class of non-devotee who is called Maya Paritta Jnana. He's apparently very intelligent, but his knowledge is covered by Maya, by illusion. So you'll find people are very intelligent, but they have no spiritual understanding whatsoever. There are many such people. You see now they're making so many different scientific gadgets. Maybe some chess champion. Come on. They someone is getting their PhD, but spiritually they have no idea. Or even spiritually, someone may be interested in spiritual life, but they may come to the conclusion that everything is ultimately impersonal. That's the point. So it's not simply by acquiring knowledge that one can become self-realized. Krishna's grace, which comes in the submissive service, really one has to come to this point. This is being described by Krishna in Gita. Because the tendency to misunderstand is so strong, we find that mostly commentators on the Gita, they give the wrong idea. You see, I was just talking on the phone with Vijay Govind Prabhu in this edition of Ramayana I've been working on. Why, people may say, why are you bringing out Ramayana? There already you can get and you can buy. Rajaji has brought out in English. Kamala Subramaniam has brought out. That's why I want to bring out. That is exactly the reason, because they have brought out. And everyone is reading. And they're gifted writers, no doubt. Both of them. They tell the story in a very pleasing way. Good writers. Very good at writing. Plus, anyway, the story is very interesting. But they, see, even Ramayana is absolutely simply describing the glories of Lord Ram, the Supreme. But they misconstrue. They'll write in such a way that actually Ram ultimately is not the absolute truth. The ultimate truth is something impersonal. It's they write. That's why we have to bring out a book that at least our devotees, if they're going to read Ram Leela, they're not going to read Kajagopachari, a good name. There's so many devotees with the name of the Radha Krishna, first class name. But what philosophy he's writing is not to Krishna you have to surrender, but to the unborn interest. Yes. So even the good name is there, Rajagopalachari, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishnam. But how they're explaining. You see, some may have a good name. In the modern age we have good names, Karunanidhi, Lallu Prasad. They're all good names. They're all names of Krishna. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the character is first class. Even you'll find one name of Krishna is Madhusudan. Madhusudan means the enemy of Madhu. Madhu is one enemy, Madhu Bhaita. Krishna killed them at the beginning of creation. Therefore, Krishna's famous name is Madhusudan. Madhu is also a name of Krishna. Madhu means sweet. Madhu means honey. Also the name of one big demon. So you may have a good name, but it doesn't mean that you're on exactly to the right point. There are so many people with good names. Dacoits, murderers. They all may also be called Govinda. Something. Madhu may give them such a name. It's to their advantage, but it doesn't mean that they're automatically a good character. So Krishna says, Yo Maam Eva Samasaya, who knows me, Krishna says. Know me, understand Krishna, not get misunderstood, not get misexplained. Try to understand who is Krishna. Because if we get the wrong idea, we may be doing everything right, but we miss the point. Just like I'm saying, Mayavadis, they may also worship Krishna. From Janmashtami function, Adha Kalyanam, and so many things. Ultimately, they have the idea that they are the same as God. Chaitanya Charitamrita has described Raghunath Bhatta, one of the six Goswamis. He was coming from Varanasi, where he lived, to Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there was one, Amdas Vishwas was his name, who accompanied him. So he carried all of He was thinking that Raghunath Bhatta is a Brahmin, of him. He carried his bags all the way through the forest from Varanasi to Puri. Well, you didn't just get on the express and go. You have to walk a long way, many, many days' journey. And Ramdas, he was always chanting, Ram, 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 Rama, 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 constantly chanting. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him, he thought, I didn't like it. Why? He's serving the Vaishnavas, always chanting Ram Nam. Didn't like it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, didn't insult him, but he wasn't pleased to see him, because he could understand in his heart his essence. I find in North India, there are so many people, of course not so many now, very much part of the culture, people chanting Ram Nam, Ram Bhaktas. One British man wrote in the 19th century, he said, there's hardly any person in the whole of North India among the Hindus, who do not know the whole Ramayana. They know every story inside out, upside down. Because people used to, that means they'd be listening to Tulsidas, Ramcharitmanas. Oh, that gives the idea of Ram Bhakti, but there's impersonal ideas mixed up in it. It's not pure devotion. The Amanandi Sampradaya is very strong in North India. Oh no, Ramanandi Sampradaya means they're supposed to be Ram Bhaktas, but it's mixed up with Mayavada. So even though it seems like bhakti, they've got the wrong idea actually. The wrong idea, you may be doing the right thing, but you end up in the wrong place. You don't get to the right point. Misconceptions. Misconceptions, they should be taken out. But often people are very attached to their misconceptions. Just like when we first came to India, at least I first came to India in 1976, and I came to 16 in 1977. So at that time everyone would say, we are Hindus, we know everything. You are converted Hindus, or you are trying to be converted Hindus. We know everything. We know everything about Krishna. Commonly people used to say, we know everything. And today, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he says, I don't know everything. He's praising Krishna unlimitedly. He says, I can't come to the end. But these people say, we know everything. You don't have to teach us. There's no question of teaching. If you think you know everything, what are you going to learn? The beginning of learning is humility. And the end of learning is also humility. Vidyata dati vinaya. One should be humble. So if you're not humble in the beginning, then you can't learn anything anyway. That's why someone may superficially learn about devotional service, but in their heart, if they're proud, you can't actually understand anything. So we have to understand Krishna. If you understand Krishna, here Krishna is explaining the point. If you know me, Krishna says, you understand everything, if you understand without doubt. The effect of knowing Krishna has already been described in the fourth chapter of Gita. Janma karma cha medhivyam evang yo veti tatpataha tadvadeham punar janma naiti mameti sarjana. Krishna says, one who knows me, the nature of my appearance and activities, who knows that these are all transcendental, who knows this properly, they don't get born again in this material world, they come to me. Tatpataha, Krishna says, you have to know properly. Here also, a samudho, without doubting, you have to know properly. But if you have misconceptions, then how are you going to know properly? How many misconceptions? There are so many bhaktas. Clear, but the wrong idea. For some reason, they picked up the wrong idea. And teaching Krishna bhakti, villages in Bangladesh. So we met one famous guru. He didn't like us being there because he's bogus. He's made up some incarnation of God and some new mantra, so many bogus things. So he challenged us that, why are you preaching Krishna Bhakti here? There's enough here. Why don't you go to your own country and preach? Some guy thinks. They're saying, well, your people have Krishna Bhakti, but you'll find so many people in Bengal, they like to chant Hare Krishna, but they like to eat fish also. So fish eating and Krishna bhakti, they don't go to... And then he'll say, what's wrong with eating fish? He's saying, Bhagavad Gita, you shouldn't eat fish. People say this to me. What's wrong with drinking tea and coffee? Nothing against it in the Vedas. What's wrong with eating meat? You'll find it in the Vedas. That's for you. In the Vedas, you'll find so many things. But what is for you? That you have to learn from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. How to understand Krishna. If there is some misconception, it's very difficult to understand Krishna properly. You get some wrong idea in the beginning. Therefore, to understand Krishna properly, we are enjoined to, here, it's repeating the point that we have to hear from authorities. To hear like the hogs, Prabhupada said, is not sufficient. Prabhupada's not stereotyped kind of. Oh, we went to that program, some bodies. They had their Bhagavad Sapta. So it's, they had their nice music, ding, 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 umbrellas, so many umbrellas, and then afterwards they take it back to the Shastram and they sell the same umbrellas. Umbrellas just go round and round. So we did smiling and blessing. Prabhupada says here, hearing like the hogs is not sufficient. I don't think that Swamiji was saying like that. Don't say such a thing. Prabhupada is saying this is just hearing like the hogs, making some big tamasha, some big show. Give some blessings. No motive for purification. There's no motive for elucidation. How to understand what is the subject matter of Krishna? How to understand? How to advance in devotion? Krishna service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will describe three stages. Sambandha Abhideya Prayoja. Sambandha means to understand our relationship with Krishna by hearing. Abhideya means to understand how to act in that relationship by hearing and actively applying in our lives. And then ultimately we reach to Prayoja and the ultimate goal of life, which is pure love of Krishna. So everything has to be taken step by step. Sambandha, first we have to hear and understand. Then we engage in devotional service. Still we have to go on hearing to understand. Who is Krishna? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How should we understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are the objections? What are the doubts? The other word is given, asamrudha. Asamrudha means being completely free from all doubts. Because so many doubts will come. How is Krishna God? Is he really God? Are there any doubts? Even though we may accept he is the Supreme Lord, but there may be doubts about how to approach him and how to serve him. One will say, ast, even ava, alan, ast, a gyuz, also a ant, a krishna, umchant, Hare Krishna, new mantra for you. So many people may say so many things, so we have to understand clearly, when Krishna says, asamrudha, free from doubts, that means not only free from doubts as to the constitutional position of ourselves in relationship with Krishna as servant to master, but also we have to understand very clearly what is the process of devotional service. Devotional service is a process. Sambandha, abhideya. What is our relationship with Krishna? How to act in that relationship so that we can ultimately enter into that relationship. As long as we have any personal desire, material desire, misunderstanding, doubt, any trace of calm, cold, love, any such thing, then we cannot properly enter. We have to go on hearing, acting in that relationship. Sudhir, that word I was using. Those who are very steady in their intelligence, they can come to approach Krishna. As the approach to Krishna, that should be done very steadily, gradually, not that moment you will become self-realized. You think you are, but actually it takes time. Not at all. Gradually, Krishna says in Gita, gradually, step by step, making progress with our intelligence, our determination fixed by our intelligence. So all these things are required. The eye is very strong. Eye is bahu rupi. Eye has many forms. You may not even recognize how Maya is coming. Because you may think this is Krishna, but actually it's Maya. You have to be careful. You may think something is Krishna conscious, but actually it's Maya. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in his talking to Rupa Goswami that many times people may think they're performing devotional service, but actually it's mixed up with different wrong desires. And therefore, it's not exactly devotional service, it's more like it's actually a contamination. Not actually becoming purified. And therefore, the path of devotional service is very subtle. Devotional service, we're dealing with the soul. Now, in the present situation, we are covered by body, mind, senses. Our intelligence is polluted by wrong desires, which all comes from the ahankar, or false ego, of thinking, I am not the servant of Krishna. Whereas actually, we are the servants of Krishna. So as long as we are thinking, I am not the servant of Krishna, as long as that trace of that contamination is there, definitely a subtle understanding that I am the soul, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, it won't fully manifest. And even if it partially manifests, it may be mixed up with so many misunderstandings due to our long-standing contaminated habit of considering ourselves the enjoyer of all the thinking, even in others. Mixed up. Wrong idea. To be attracted to that which is not actually the proper path. Therefore,
uttering, how to get on the proper path and follow exactly. Well, there could be many answers to a good suggestion at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18 volumes. Study that, that would be a very great help. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended Adi Bhagavatam, most important book, essence of all knowledge. Even then you may study Bhagavatam, and you may not come to the proper point, because you may, if you're reading and thinking, you may have so many wrong ideas, you're reading and thinking that, well, I'll become a great scholar and I'll show off to everyone how much I know. So read it like that, and then you won't get the point. Even you'll see, Shankaracharya, he commented on Gita and Vedanta Sutra. He didn't comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Shankaracharya, actually, is a great devotee. He had a special purpose to fulfill in commenting on Gita and Vedanta Sutra to mislead people with this Advaitavad, Mayavad philosophy. But he didn't touch Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is, of course, Gita is also non different from Krishna. But Bhagavatam is the very form of Krishna. Tirasamaya Grantha, it's the book which is full of the nectarian mellows of devotional service. But some of Shankaracharya's disciplic descendants, they made Mayavadi commentary on Gita, by which many people who are Vaishnavas, they became distracted and destroyed. Because they're thinking, oh, this is Bhagavatam. Let's read, what is this commentary? And they get destroyed, they get spoiled. They're hearing from the wrong source. It's going on today also. We find so many Bhagavatam speakers. Actually, they're Mayavadis. They speak Krishna Lila, but they're Mayavadis. They get the wrong idea. Mayavadi is one side, Sahaja is another side. Someone they want to make Krishna Bhakti deep. Mind, somebody always brings your mind purifying your heart. You just take astrology. You say, I don't know in South and so many. At the end of your find so many. You find some sadhus, they sit. They'll sit with their legs out for everyone to come. You want some dust for my feet? Here, take it. Spiritual life is such a thing that it's so cheap. Of course, that's recommended. Bhakta Padadulya, Bhakta Padadulya, Bhakta Shesh, 18 Mahabhav, Tine Mahabhav, 18 Haipe, Krishna Shiva Hai, Baba Sarva Shastra Kukriya Koi. That's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's Ashram, the feet of devotees, the water that washed their feet. All these three are very powerful to give love of Krishna. All the Shastras say that. But it's not that you just, well, you know, I just get Ashram, the feet and work on purifying your heart. You have to do something. Kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, madadi, abhishta, nishadna, chere, kishe, pade, radha, Krishna. Just, you know, because we have all these bad things in our heart, lust, greed, anger. How is it possible we're going to reach Radha Krishna? It's a rhetorical question. Do you know what that means, a rhetorical question? It means it's stating a fact in the form of a question. It means he's asking, how is it possible to get Radha Krishna if we have all these bad things in our heart? The answer is obviously, the answer is no. You can't. There's no question. So all these things we have to work on purifying. Be very careful to from the right source, understand it properly, like obviously many people now by hearing Mayavad explanations, they get distracted from the or also get distracted from the hearing so many explanations. In the modern age, there are different kinds of different people giving all kinds of emotion destroying ideas. Is there? We have to be careful. In the society of pure devotees, they become contaminated by wrong ideas. This way, jivanti sangha karitam bhavadiya bhavatam, spend our lives hearing about Krishna from the right source. That will be very beneficial, no doubt, and thus enter into his devotion to Krishna. Is there any difference? Well, between Ramanuja's Vishishtadvaita and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achinta Veda Veda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achinta Veda Veda means inconceivable oneness and difference. It means that everything is simultaneously one with the Supreme Lord and different with Him. It means there's Ved and Abhay. It means we are one with the Supreme Lord in one sense. That He is Satchidanandamay, we are Satchidanandamay. But there's difference. It means He is very great and we are very small. So we are one in quality, but in quantity, we are different. we are Atma, he is also Atma. But we are Anu and he is Vibhu. He is Paramatma. So we are different from him and we are non-different. So as regards Vishishta Advaita and Achintya Advaita Veda, it is the same and it is different also. I didn't finish speaking on this point. It's the same and different. Basically, Ramanujacharya is establishing the same point in a different way. Eya Shariri Bhava. That the Supreme Lord is everything in one sense. In another sense, he is different. This philosophy is Vishishta Advaita. There is Advaita, we are non-different, but there is Vishishta. There is Vaishishtya also. The Lord and His attributes, they are non-different, but still in one sense they are different. Oh, actually our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our Prasadacharya, that Vishishta Advaita Vad, that is the basis of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Practically you can say the ecstatic emotional feelings of the Alvas, especially Andal, that has been that action which is developed to the topmost stage of ecstatic devotion by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually, in essence, there's no difference. They all accept Vishnu is Supati is the only proper power. Difference is there also. Not difference in principle, but difference in detail. And so we accept the same principles. Vishnu is supreme, his servant. We have to serve him. Go to the spiritual world. The process is the same. Principle is the same. Detail is different. That you'll find even within the Ramanuja Sampradaya, there's some difference of opinion. Principle is the same.
Realism and non-realism.
You see this Shankaracharya has preached Kevala Advaita, that there's only Advaita. There's only oneness.
Yes.
Whereas the Veda Veda, Dvaita Dvaita, there is oneness and difference. You can't say that. You see, some people, they say Shuddha Dvaita, that's Madhva philosophy,
yes,
that everything is absolutely different. But actually, if you say everything is absolutely different, then there's no relationship. You can't establish any relationship. There must be some oneness. Otherwise, how you can have a rapport? There must be something in common. If it's absolutely different, then it's just like in a completely different dimension.
Yes.
Some people say, that some scientists say that there may be different simultaneous worlds existing with us, which we have no... They're so different, they're made of different kind of matter that we have no correspondence with. So if we say absolute difference, then where's the relationship with the Supreme Lord? There must be something in common. So we are different from Him, but there's some sameness also. Otherwise, how is there exchange of rasa, of love? So there's oneness and there is difference. Both things should be there. But Shankaracharya says, Sarvam Kau Vidam Dhamma, everything is Ekam Advaita. They quote the Upanishads, but only one self. They don't see Paratsya Shakti Vividai Vashuyati. They see simply there is Brahma, that's it. Only, everything is all one. I am you and you are me, and I am God, you are God, God is I, and nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. You see, if you want to discuss all these philosophies, then first you have to understand what is the pramana in Western philosophy, called epistemology. What is the evidence? How can we understand? So there's the main evidences are established as pratyaksha, anuman, and shabda. And when shabda or shastra, that is main. But shastra has to also have some connection with pratyaksha. It has to be in line with observed reality also. Now some things are beyond our observation. We don't know what's on the moon. That you have to take from. We don't know what's in Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
That is adhoksha jnana. That we can't see by our eyes. That you have to accept from Shastra. But when Shastra, just like in Gita, Krishna says, Dihino Svenyatade He Kumaran Yoganamjara, Tatade Hantarapti, he says that the body changes from boyhood to youth to old age. So this we can observe. Then Krishna says, you get another body, That much he can't observe. But, so here we have Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda in the beginning instructions of Gita. Pratyaksha, you see, the body changes from boyhood to youth to old age. So, Krishna is giving an example that then you get another body, that is an Anuman, that is an extrapolation from what is observed. But because Krishna says it, it becomes Shabda, it becomes absolute proof. But Krishna is giving an example that you see the body is changing all the time, the mind is changing all the time. What is staying? What is the same? That is the person. So Krishna is saying that the person within the body is different from the body. So when the body dies, you go to another body. This idea, Kevala Advaita, everything is all one. There's no difference whatsoever. It's the most meaningless, foolish, ridiculous idea. But somehow, because it's presented with a Shabda Jalam, Maharanyam, because it's presented in such a way, it sounds very intellectual. And if you examine, it doesn't make any sense. I am God. Really? If I kick you in the face, and what will you do? Just a bit off. It's activated.
Why don't you turn that off? It's ridiculous. Madhva, Gauriya, yeah. What about?
Yeah, what about Madhvas and Gauriyas?
Yes and no, again.
It's symbolized Madhva Gauriya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself within the Madhva Sampradaya because he liked the Madhvas. He liked actually Madhva's very strong refutation of this Advaitavad or Mayavad. When Madhva was chastising Ramanuja, that you're not too. In his commentary, Madhva has said Ramanuja, he's not strong enough against this Mayavad. He's made some compromise. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked that Madhva was very strong against the Shankarites. Very strong, absolutely uncompromising. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated that. He also appreciated that the Madhvas, they worship the deity with the idea that the deity is eternal, accepting that the deity is non-different, he is the supreme Lord. So they very strongly established that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated that. But in details there's difference also, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to teach the highest teaching. Of all the different sampradayas, all the different sampradayas have taught Vishnu is supreme. But actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught something even beyond. Is that Radha is supreme. The Vishnu is subservient to Radharani. That we don't teach ABC. That's very elevated teaching. But actually the topmost understanding of Krishna Bhakti is to understand Krishna's intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. We don't discuss this generally. It's possible to understand unless we're fully purified in heart. But actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that, this highest teaching. What was taught in all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taught that and given something more too. That's why ultimately it's understood that all the different Sampradayas are there, but you'll find the essence. And the distilled essence, just like you get ghee, you get milk, you get ghee. So the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya teachings and philosophy, it's like ghee, essence. Yes, ultimately it must be the same. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught surrender is the beginning of bhakti. When you surrender, then your love begins. Just in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, they teach bhakti up to the point of surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, surrender, then we'll think about what happens after that. That means surrender. You see, mostly the Vaishnava Sampradaya, in South India, these two are very famous, Madhva and Sri Sampradaya. But there's also Nimbak Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, which is modern age Lalab Sampradaya. But you'll find them more in the north, other Sampradayas. Now, mostly they teach bhakti up to the point of surrender. Madhva and Sri Sampradaya. And then you become Vaikuntha Vasi. You go to Vaikuntha. Param Param. At Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, almost doctors, you see, just like Mother Yashoda. She's not chanting Ved stutis. Kunda Maharaj, he never went to Gurukul and learned how to chant Veda Path. Are the greatest devotees, because only the Bhav is there. The Veda Path is bad. Veda Path is very good. Actually, you'll get all the Vedas in Hare Krishna Mantra. So we don't really say theory. It's there. One of our devotees has made one book showing how it's there in all the... In Christianity, originally, you see, if you examine historically, Jesus, he was born in one sect of Jews, they were called Essene, or a mystical sect. So they were vegetarians. His mother and father, Joseph and Mary, they were vegetarians because Essenes were all vegetarians, and they believed in reincarnation. And Jesus taught that. But the Bible got edited. You know that? It was all the vegetarianism and the reincarnation was all cut out of the Bible. The people in the Vatican, they know. There are so many secret books in the Vatican, they never allow anyone to hold manuscripts.
But as it's
taking... They've interpreted it. It's like, actually the Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek. Jesus spoke in Aramaic. Actually, the Greek is... He didn't speak Greek. No, Hebrew. Aramaic. Just like you'll find in India, Hindi is supposed to be the national language. There are so many other languages.
Yeah.
So Hebrew may have been, that was the language of the Purohits, they were called the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Of the high, but the local language Jesus spoke was, his home language is Aramaic. Or just like you see, South India, English is the language for speak, but at home people will speak Telugu, Tamil, or it is, which is also a home language. So, like that, Jesus actually spoke in Aramaic, one ancient language. The Bible was written more than two centuries later in Greek. Now, just like you'll find in the, then it was translated into Latin, and from Latin to English, French, and so many languages. You'll find in the Bible sometimes a testament. Jesus says, go and take your meat, or did you eat meat yet? Now, it's understood that Jesus was a vegetarian, actually. It's just like in Aramaic, in Greek, the word for food is meat.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in any Indian language, just like in Bengali, in High Bengali, in ordinary Bengali, you'll say, Aniki Bhat Kerchen, have you eaten your bhat, your rice? Al roti kake chalke, you're just eating dal and roti. Have you eaten your rice? Because whenever people eat in Bengal, they'll eat rice. You say in Tamil, your meal? Salam means rice. So if you say, did you take your salam? How do you say that? It means, did you eat? If you say, did you eat?
The derivative of prasadam.
Oh, I see.
Salam is last prasadam. What have we eaten?
So if you say, did you eat?
Did you eat?
How do you say in Tamil?
Sapya. 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 Alam sapya. Salam sapya.
Because it means did you eat rice, and rice means also with rasam and sambar, you say rice, because rice is the main thing. The same thing in Greek, the word for food is meat. If you say, did you eat your meal in Greek, you have to say, did you eat meat? So, and Aramaic, Jesus said, did you eat food? But then, when they put in Greek, they said, did you eat meat? You see how it comes? And they say Jesus is a meat eater.
Yes, since he's changed.
And that's how it came, you see. The early Christians, they were all vegetarians. And they all believed in reincarnation. Similarly, in Islam, it may not be explicitly stated, but you'll find among many sects, especially the Sufis, they believe in reincarnation. Judaism, it's also there. Buddhism, it's also there. I mean, I was brought up in a Catholic family. From a young age, I understood. They say what they were teaching is all rubbish. They say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you go to hell forever. If I do something wrong, my father, he punishes me, but he doesn't punish me forever. He gives me another chance. So in Christianity, they say, God is the Supreme Father. So if he's my father, if I do something wrong, he may punish me. He's not going to punish me forever. He'll give me another chance. So even as a child, I could understand, there must be reincarnation. Speak. There's going to be a God, there has to be reincarnation. There must be a God, otherwise how everything is here. then we don't need to be a great
Here we will propagate that Jesus saves, even if you are a sinner.
Then why did Jesus teach to give up sin? Why did Jesus teach?
Here, here are all the preachers.
It's a nonsense idea. It's rascal. So it's, he came to teach us to give up sin. Not just you believe in me and you go on sinning. You become a Christian. You become a Christian and a drunkard, and you simply I believe in David. And they also make propaganda that Jesus was a drunkard. He was also drinking wine. Another nonsense idea. Jesus is teaching people to be a drunkard. I've seen so many priests all chain smokers, alcoholics. What is this? They're going to teach about God, they should bring us to a higher platform. Not that we come down to the lowest platform and simply, I believe in God. That's not real. I come first class. Shamoa tamah tapasho cham. Shanti raja meva cham. Gyanam vigyanam asti. I'm a first class person, Krishna describes. Sama, control of the mind. Dhamma, control of the senses. Tapa, tapasya. Tacham, cleanliness. Shanti, tolerance. Shanti hi. Algebra, straightforwardness, knowledge of Shastra, proper knowledge of how to apply them, faith in Shastra, these are the qualities of a first-class person. Whether you simply believe in Jesus and get drunk. Really. I don't think Jesus will be very happy if you say such a thing. Question is always there. Like Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. I love the distortion. Distortion is there in Hinduism, distortion is there in Krishna consciousness. Always there's distortion. Someone will distort. Yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this. This means I should drink more alcohol. You'll find someone. In the name of Gita, they'll do so much nonsense. Ever quoting scripture. Any questions? All right.